November 26, five games as we prepare for tomorrow night's stupidly large NBA slate. Still a little bit to talk about, not as much as we will have tomorrow. Let's get into it. This is Tuesday, the Tuesday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. Adam King is me. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91, on Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us at FBI Basketball. We are on YouTube. We are on Twitter. We are on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. And if, like me, you probably listen to multiple shows, it's pretty much all I listen to. Go and find us. Go and like. Go and subscribe. Please, it helps build our audience, which is always appreciated. Five games, pretty quiet. I like these nights because I actually get to sit and watch sustained portions of games rather than having to flick and watch highlights and have multiple screens going. So it is always nice. Not looking forward to tomorrow at all, despite the fact that we will have all of our fantasy guys out there. It's a lot to take in. So, only five games. Let's get into those. Bring up the hit the special button. Okay, first game of the night, the Bulls and the Wizards. The Wizards looked okay early, but the Bulls eventually just took over. No real surprise here. For the Bulls, fairly good performances from all the starters, which is always, well, almost always going to happen against a team like the Wizards. Vooch, 19 and 12, continues to shoot the ball very well. No defensive stats here, but still getting it done. Kobe White had 21. He got a few threes, went on a little bit of a run, which sort of salvaged his night a little bit, but still good, 21 and 8 with a steal. Zach LaVine had 18. Look, these guys weren't expected to do too much here. We got 22 minutes of Julian Phillips, 16 minutes of Dalen Terry, and yes, 16 minutes of Talen Horton Tucker. Man, he looks old. I don't know how old he is. Someone could probably look it up. He looks like he's about 40, just out on the court. We got 16 minutes of Talen Horton Tucker. So that tells you all you need to know about this game. Ayo Dosunmu, still doing enough. 12-3-3 with two steals and a block. So doing just enough to be rostered. Josh Giddey, 11 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds. Again, doing just enough. Pretty underwhelming, but still doing enough. And Matas Buzelis, who we were told by Coach Billy Donovan would be seeing extended run, more minutes. That lasted one game. He only played 17 here. 9 points, 4 rebounds, a steal and a block. Numbers aren't too bad, but I'd like to see him out there for 25 minutes with no Patrick Williams. I just don't know whether that's going to happen. Talen Horton Tucker is 24, so there you go. Looks a lot older than that. And what have we got? Yeah, we've got some questions. Yeah, we'll get to the questions. Anyway, we've got plenty of time for the questions today because we only have five games. For the Wizards, Kuzma's line's all right here. He had 23, 7, and 3 with two steals, but man, he looks unmotivated. He just looks depressed out there, doesn't want to be there. I don't blame him. I mean, this team is not on a trajectory that is going to see them winning anytime soon. Kuzma, he's not old, but he's certainly not young like these other guys on the roster. Well, don't include Malcolm Brogdon, but yeah, he just looks very unmotivated, uninterested. So I don't know whether this is going to end up in him being moved. Like I said, the numbers are fine here, but he hasn't been great. Kyshawn George was in the starting lineup again with Jordan Poole out. He had 7 points, 4 rebounds. I wouldn't really be worrying about him. Alex Saar, though, good night for him offensively, 20 points, 7 rebounds, a steal and a block, must roster player with a view to getting better. I think he is looking far more comfortable out there. Koulibaly had 8 and 5 with a steal. I think we're rostering him. Minutes are good, production's up and down, but he's still very raw offensively. And Brogdon continues to waste our time with minutes starting. The numbers are okay. He probably has to be rostered as long as he's starting. 23 minutes in this one, 15, 6, and 4. Feels like there's an injury around the corner, but if you want to grab him and just hold him for a week or 2 weeks, go ahead. Bub Carrington's the question that we get a lot. Is he worth holding? Look, if you looked at this line, you'd say maybe 10 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 25 minutes, but he had been getting 20 minutes, 21 minutes prior to this. Bit of a blowout. I don't think he is worth rostering. We are going to get pullback at some point. He was questionable coming in tonight. They play tomorrow, I'm assuming. There's two teams that don't play tomorrow. I haven't looked at who they are. So Carrington, look, I mean, if you want to hold him for tomorrow and just if you need to throw him in there, but tomorrow is not going to be really a day for streaming because chances are you're going to have 95% of your players active tomorrow. So even if you've got a couple injuries, you're going to have guys on your bench that you can throw in there. Valanciunas, yeah, 4-3. Lone Dez says we need Jonas minutes. Yeah, only 14 of them here, and he had 4 points, 3 rebounds. He had been a hold prior to this, but it's not looking good. He just needs to be moved at this point, I think. I don't see any path to him playing more than 20 minutes on this team, short of an injury to Alex Saar, of course. But, yeah, I think he's probably still a soft hold just because he can get you a double-double in pretty low minutes. So there's a little bit there, but not too much. The Bucks and the Heat, a good win for the Bucks. We haven't been able to say that very often this year. 106 to 103 over the Heat. For the Bucks, no Giannis. He was out with a calf issue. He was probable and then downgraded to out. Hopefully nothing long-term. Again, I'm just going to assume every team is playing tomorrow. I know there must be two teams that aren't. Someone can probably look that up. It wasn't Bobby Portis. Normally, based on the last couple of years when Giannis doesn't play, it's Bobby Portis who starts and plays big minutes and gets big numbers. That was not the case. So if you had Bobby Portis in your lineup and you were hoping for a good game, it did not come. We got a starting lineup of Damian Lillard, Andre Jackson continues to start. We had AJ Green, Taurean Prince, and Brook Lopez. So rolling with a weird one there. AJ Green, if you streamed him in for threes, which I did, he got 3 of them. So fine. I'll be just dropping him. So that's okay. Taurean Prince had 10 points in 31 minutes. Brook Lopez, 3 blocks, 13 points. He's doing enough. Lillard really carried the team here, obviously, 37 points. Next highest was Lopez with 13. So, yeah, we're not really worrying about any of these other guys. As for Bobby Portis, he had – oh, what happened to my screen there? He had 11 points, 6 rebounds in 18 minutes. So, yeah, not really enough. And interesting that his minutes were so low here. There was no foul trouble, no injuries that I'm aware of. So whether it's just Doc Rivers going in another direction, I'm not sure. Something to monitor, though, absolutely, with Bobby Portis. For the Heat, Jimmy Butler played 37 minutes. That means there's probably a missed game coming up at some point. He had 23, 5, and 4, so nice from him. Hayward Highsmith, absolutely nothing to see there. Duncan Robinson, he's starting. His minutes have been okay, but it does feel like Terry Rozier will come back into that starting lineup at some point. Rozier returned and had 17 points in 21 minutes, so looked a little bit better. So maybe this little layoff has done his foot some good. And then just, I don't think we're adding anyone here, but interesting that Pell Larsen has been playing more minutes than Jaime Jaquez. So it's something to monitor in deep leagues. I like Pell Larsen. I think he's probably worth considering in those deeper leagues. Not enough here for a standard league just yet, though. Okay, Rockets and the Timberwolves. Rockets get the win in overtime. They were up by about 20, I think 18 or 20 at one point. Minnesota came rolling back into the game. Houston get the win in overtime. Şengün was fantastic in this one against Rudy Gobert. 22, 10 and 11 with three steals and three blocks. So if you have Şengün, these are the numbers you want to be seeing more often. He hasn't been this good, but this was a really good performance, obviously. Jabari Smith has slowly been trending up a little bit, so we just hold him. But, I mean, the shooting, 8 of 9 here from the field. He goes, 4 of 9, and it's probably a 9.7 rebound, 2-block night, which is not great, but still encouraging. Dylan Brooks had 22 points in 41 minutes. And remember, this was an overtime game, so the minutes are elevated. I don't think we need to be adding Brooks. If you want to stream him in, he scored at least 20 in two of the last three. So could be one of those sort of opportunities where he is going to play well offensively for a week or so. And Jalen Green came into the game under an illness cloud, I believe, only played 23 minutes. He looked okay health-wise out there, but they figured out he's not that good a player. 23 minutes, 9 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, not great. Amen Thompson played over him with 38 minutes and just offers a lot more, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 4 steals, 3 blocks. So Amen Thompson is not available anywhere, I'm assuming, but yeah, he is looking very good indeed. And as for Tari Eason, let's just forget about this game. He just couldn't get going. Just didn't look involved. Didn't look, I don't know, didn't look clicked, switched on. Switched on might be the word. 0 points. He had 2 steals and a block, so he did get you those defensive numbers, but just never looked engaged here, so they went away from him. But he will be better than this. For the Timberwolves, McDaniels back to being McDaniels, 9 points with not much else. He's fine to hold if you want to. I'm not holding him anywhere. I'm not actively trying to get him anywhere. Anthony Edwards doing his thing, hitting free throws. I think I just saw a tweet before he's hit 35 free throws in a row, something like that. So that's helping your free throw percentages. Julius Randle, fine. Not a lot to talk about for their main guys here. Gobert, offensively 2 of 3. And I tweeted out, I was watching, I think it was the third quarter, maybe. And there was a play where they came down the floor. I think Edwards had it. Gobert had set a couple of high screens and was basically wide open. He had no one within about, 6 feet, 8 feet of him, and he was just outside the key, waving his hands around, looking for the ball. Edwards didn't pass it to him. He instead passed to DiVincenzo. Şengün had left Gobert and come to help on Edwards, leaving Dylan Brooks under the basket with Gobert. DiVincenzo looked at him, didn't pass it to him, tried to force a pass back to Anthony Edwards. It was stolen by Jalen Green, I believe, for a wide open dunk. So I don't know what's going on. If that was me coaching, I coach kids, very different. I'm not comparing it to the NBA at all. But if I was a coach, I would be getting on those players back saying, what the hell? Because Gobert, a few feet from the basket with Dylan Brooks, is almost a guaranteed basket. I just don't know what's going on here. Yes, I know there's egos and attitudes and things like that, and this is more me going off on a rant. Anthony Edwards is not a player I like based on what I've seen. He's a good player. I certainly respect his ability and his talent, but I'm not sure he can be the guy to build a championship team around. I don't know. There's something about him. It could just be me. But anyway, I digress. Let's move off of that. Naz Reid was better here, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals. So he'd been pretty ordinary the last couple of games. Good to see. DiVincenzo, I think we can just drop. Despite Conley being out, DiVincenzo starting, he had 3 points and 3 assists in 21 minutes. He just sucks at the moment, so I would move on. Rob Dillingham is interesting, though. 12 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 threes in 24 minutes. I think once Conley gets back, this probably doesn't matter too much. But it is good to see Dillingham, who was almost out of the rotation to start the season. He, as I said, he played more than DiVincenzo here. So it is something to keep an eye on. And Alexander Walker had 13 and 3. Yeah, he's fine to stream in situations like this, but nothing more than that. Spurs and the Jazz. Spurs get the win, 128 to 115. This is the Harrison Barnes we know and love. So, of course, he was fooling us with his shooting. 8 points on 2 of 6 shooting. Move on. If you picked him up, maybe you got 1 or 2 good games out of him. Now you can move on. Julian Champagne had 15 points, 3 steals. He is a points streamer, but we will get Devin Vassell back tomorrow. Chances are he comes off the bench. I don't think he'll be starting, but that will take minutes away from Julian Champagne and potentially Steph Castle a little bit. Castle had 23 points, 5 assists. He's looking really good. I think probably we should have added him a week ago, and he's been decent, and we just see what happens here once Vassell is back. There is a chance, I guess, given the play of Castle, that they opt to go with Vassell at the small forward position and move Champagne to the bench. I don't know if that's going to happen, but on a team just looking to develop these young guys, I think Castle is really intriguing. And then for their bench, second unit, I don't know, Keldon Johnson if you need points, but yeah, nothing there. Too exciting. On to Utah. I was going to say, I can't even remember. Oh, no, Clarkson's out anyway. Filipowski was out. So we saw some more Bryce Sensabaugh, which we thought we would. 16 points. Again, not enough there, I don't think. I'm not sure if this Filipowski injury is anything significant. As for the starters, John Collins continues to be good. Walker Kessler is back, but we're still seeing good version of John Collins. Lauri Markkanen, he cooled off a little bit in this one, but also injured his ankle, knee, I want to say. Let me just bring it up. I just did the injury report. I should know this. Lauri Markkanen, knee. I think, yes, he banged knees with Victor Wembanyama. That's right. No word on the severity of this injury, but we do know that Lauri Markkanen is not a stranger when it comes to missed games. So just monitor this. Walker Kessler, as I said, he is back. He had 28 minutes, 6 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks. Not too bad when you're up against Wemby. He's a tough player to guard. So, this was okay. And both Keontae George and Colin Sexton were good. With no Jordan Clarkson, there's a clearer path for both of those guys to minutes. And the last game, the Lakers and the Suns. Easy win for the Suns here in the end, 127 to 100. Lakers, they didn't look good, didn't look switched on here. Anthony Davis was very good, 25 and 15 with 4 blocks. But outside of him, I mean, LeBron did LeBron things. We don't need to talk about him. Austin Reeves was okay. Cam Reddish doesn't offer anything offensively. Rui Hachimura has been pretty average since those first sort of 2 to 3 weeks. Throw that injury in there. So he doesn't have a lot of momentum at the moment. Dalton Connect I think we can just move on now. That run of about a week where he was putting up numbers. There'll be another run like that at some point. They may look to move him into the starting lineup. JJ Redick hasn't said anything, but they're not looking great at the moment, so they might try to mix it up a little bit. D'Angelo Russell, look, he was okay in this one, 16 points. He did get extra minutes because a few of the starters just sucked and the Lakers were getting blown out. So if you've got Russell, we're probably just holding, but he was trending down. This probably buys him another game or two, but we'd need to see him doing more to sort of make a case for him being must roster. And for the Suns, they had their guys back. Kevin Durant was back. Bradley Beal was back. Both looked very good. In this one, nothing to talk about in terms of their production. Likewise for Devin Booker. I thought Nurkic looked pretty good and has looked better lately. He had 12 and 12 with 3 assists. So hopefully you held him through that down period there or were able to pick him up if he was dropped. Tyus Jones, only 8 points but 6 assists and 5 steals. He's still a must roster. It's not very exciting, but if you just need assists and some steals, and the steals have been a little bit underwhelming, so this was really nice to see. And then now that they're healthy, not really a lot to talk about on their bench. Grayson Allen has some limited appeal if you need threes, and Royce O'Neal if you need just some defense and assists and rebounds. He gives you a little bit of everything each night, but the ceiling is pretty low when they are healthy. All right, that is it for the games. Well, we do have some questions. Let's throw them up very quickly. Let me just check. Yep, my daughter letting me know where she is. Very good. Okay, Ernest asked, down at small forward tomorrow with DeRozan out, Tobias questionable, looking for both percentages, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. How would I rank McConnell versus Kamara, James Wilson, and Zaire Williams? I'm assuming that's Jalen Wilson, given you've sort of paired it with Zaire Williams there. Other options are Keontae George and Wendell Carter. Well, look, you're not going to find anyone that's going to get you all of those categories. So it's really, I guess, prioritizing if you need two or three of those. McConnell is assists and steals. Kamara, if we're looking across the board and I guess safest floor, maybe it's Kamara because he's starting. He can get you rebounds. He can get you steals. He might get you a block. Percentages can be okay. So he's probably the, I guess, if you do need to just focus on all of them. Keontae George is points and threes, not field goal percentage. He was okay today. Wendell Carter, I would not expect too much from him tomorrow given it's his first game back. In fact, if I've got him on my IR spot, I wouldn't even activate him tomorrow because I think he'll be limited. They've got Goga and Mo Wagner who have been playing well. So, yeah, we might only get 18 to 22 minutes of Wendell tomorrow. And Jalen Wilson and Zaire Williams were both good yesterday. So I think Zaire Williams probably gets you a little bit more across the board. Jalen Wilson is more points than threes. So Jason Johns, what up, Adam? We adding Wendell in a 12 team. If he's available and you've got a spot where you can just slot him in, I probably would because he was starting. He was okay to start the season. And I do think that he will get back to that starting role where he's playing sort of 28 to 30 minutes at some point. So if he's there, by all means, and if you could pick him up now because he's probably – oh, no, I think he's off the injury report. I was going to say he might still have that flag next to his name so you can put him in an IR spot. But that's probably been removed. So you would have to have a vacant roster spot. But, yeah, I think maybe worth it. Is Talen Horton-Tucker worth monitoring? I hope not. It is the Bulls, so it wouldn't surprise me, but I'm going to go out and say no. for Talen Horton-Tucker. When you're ready, give a green light to cut Rui Hachimura from 14 team. I think so, because I think Dalton Connect, while he wasn't great today, they now have a somewhat proven option off the bench, so they don't need to just pump 35 minutes into Rui Hachimura. So I think we're okay. And his upside is not high enough. You can stream in there anyway. Where are we? Jonathan Isaac, a 14-team ad if he plays back-to-backs and getting over 20. Yeah, yes, 14 teams, yes. We're not sure if he's playing back-to-backs yet, but he has had 22 to 23 minutes in each of the last two or three games, I think. So I picked him up in one league. It is a league where I'm punting points, so that helps with someone like a Jonathan Isaac. He's not going to score a lot, and he, for a big, I suppose a traditional big, his field goal percentage is not where you need it to be, but the numbers are okay. Otherwise, okay, is Love worth holding? Permanent numbers defensively, but now backspin. Yeah. No, we don't need to be holding Kevin Love, I don't think. Are the Wolves going to blow this up to fix some of the interpersonal dynamic? I have no idea. I mean, those thoughts on Edwards and Gobert and stuff, they were just mine. I don't know what the team is thinking here. But it doesn't look good. Like, they looked pretty cohesive last year, as we know. And then the whole Julius Randle addition was sort of weird. Yeah, I don't know if DiVincenzo really wanted to go there, but a lot of the disconnect appears to be with Gobert and like Anthony Edwards. And I don't know where that's coming from, because they looked okay last year. So who's the replacement for Lauri Markkanen? It's probably, if Filipowski's back, he gets a bump. It's probably Sensabaugh, I suppose, given what we saw today. Where's that? So Lowry, yeah, because I mean, it would have been Taylor Hendricks, obviously, but he's done. Maybe they bring Cody Williams back, but he is not worth picking up, I don't think. Clarkson, he just needs to have a few weeks off, to be honest, to get this foot right. Yeah, so it's probably Bryce Sensabaugh, I would say, and yeah, but I don't think there's anyone worth adding. Who should I start tomorrow? Goga or Jonas, Sexton or Pippen Jr., Kyshawn George or Champagne? Ooh, there's some names. I'd probably start on, Ja Morant's out again, isn't he? Maybe it is Pippen. I don't know. Sexton has been pretty good lately. I'm just going to send a text to my daughter in a minute, because she keeps ringing me while I do this. Sorry, this is great show. How the other half live. There we go. Okay, so yeah, look, Pippen maybe, but we saw even when Ja was out that he was only playing 25 minutes. If you need assists and steals, I'd probably go Pippen. If you're looking for points, then I'd go Sexton. Sexton's looked pretty good. Goga or Jonas? Ooh. It might be Jonas, because Goga, we know that when Wendell is playing, they aren't afraid to just move Goga out of the rotation altogether. Who do the Magic play? If you have a look at who the Magic play, if you want to pop that in the chat, because that might make a difference. Kyshawn George or Champagne. Let's wait and see if Poole is out. If Poole is out, Champagne if Poole is out, George will start and play good minutes again. With Vassell back, Champagne's minutes could be down a bit. So that would make a difference, I think. Let's wait and see if Poole is available. Okay. Is Klingon worth holding in a 12 team? Are we looking at a 4 to 6 week? I think they've said a couple of weeks at least. So is he worth holding? I would try to, because I think Yeah, I have no faith in Ayton. I have no faith in Rob Williams. I think if Klingon, once he gets back, once we get into January, he could be a 25-minute a night player. So if you've got an empty IR spot, multiple IR spots, I would try and hold him because I do think that he could be a bit of a difference maker down the stretch this year. Saar has been figuring it out. Do you foresee any vets being moved? I hope it's Valanciunas for his sake and for Washington, that he would be the one that that might get moved. Richards and Williams both nearing a return. Who is a better stash? I think it's Williams, although we haven't seen him for about 8 years. I think he is penciled in as their starter. Richards is just a fill-in who has been playing well. So I think all things being equal and assuming they both return on a similar time, I think Williams has the more upside, but they're probably going to be a little bit more cautious with him as it was a lower body injury where Richards was a shoulder or a rib or something. I can't remember. But, yeah, I think it will be Williams if they can both come back and stay healthy. Better stash, Asar Thompson or Jonathan Isaac in a 12 team? I think it's at the moment it's probably Isaac just because he's playing, as we've said, he's playing 22, 23 minutes. Asar Thompson is going to take a while to get back. Conditioning-wise, offensively, both are pretty average offensively, but at least Jonathan Isaac has a somewhat reliable three-point shot. I would say I'd be holding Isaac now. Asar probably has a higher ceiling in terms of minutes. I think Asar could get to 26 minutes. I don't think Isaac will get above 22 or 23. Benching, by the way, King, I'm benching Heald for the first time this year, so I expect him to go nuclear. Yep, that always happens. You're certainly within your rights to bench him because he's not playing well. And like I said, there are 1,000 games tomorrow, so you are going to have to bench. You're going to have to make some decisions about your rotation, and chances are in one of your teams you're going to look at the end of the day and go, man, I should have started this guy over this guy. It always happens. Magic play the Bulls tomorrow. Wizards play the Clippers. So this was going back to the Goga and Jonas. Okay, so if the Magic play the Bulls, yeah, this may not be a Goga game then because you'll be against Vooch and Jalen Smith. Neither are traditional bigs in terms of back to the basket, sort of where Goga would be impactful. It's probably more going to be Mo Wagner. So, and against the Clippers, Saar could get in foul trouble against someone like Zubats, and they then have Mo Bamba if he's playing as their backup. So I might go Valanciunas tomorrow, I think. And there we go. That's all the questions. I'm not going to go into the games because there is 1,000 of them. I am contemplating maybe doing some Balls Deep pre-game shows. So rather than doing all of the games here, doing a pre-game show either when I get up in the morning very early. That's probably when I would do it, actually, because if I was to do it now, there's just too many uncertainties with injury reports and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, maybe that's something I can do. It probably won't be a daily thing because I'm getting ready for work and getting kids ready for school and things like that. I don't know, if the need's there, maybe I'll do one or two and just see if people are watching along. It would probably be probably 3 p.m. Eastern in the US that I would be doing it, 7 in the morning here, my time. Some mornings, because I do have other shows that I record. So anyway, we will see. That will do. I need to go and pick up my daughter so I can get her home and she can cook me dinner. She's on holidays, so she can pull her weight around the house. That will do. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.